Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the Financial Exchange with Barry Armstrong and Chuck Zada. Your exclusive look at business and financial news affecting your day, your city, your world. Stay informed and up to date about economic and market trends. Plus, get breaking business news every day. The Financial Exchange is a proud partner of the Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts. You too can support our great American heroes by visiting financialexchangeshow.com/DAV. And now, it's time for the Financial Exchange with Barry Armstrong and Chuck Zada.
General Electric is a company that for more than a century stood as a beacon of the United States manufacturing might and management prowess. They're splitting into three public companies, drawing the curtain on an era of modern business, the dominance of an industrial conglomerate. You know, Chuck, it's been a long time coming. Larry Culp's been in there for about 3 years, and I think he finally just waved the white flag and took direction from the board and said, we're going to split this baby up.
Yeah, he came on board, I believe it was at the end of September of 18. So as you mentioned, a little over 3 years right now. And, you know, the stock price, to be fair, is up a little since then. I'll give him not much. Inkling of credit there.
Not much.
It's gone from about $99 a share up to 110. So you've made 3% a year on GE over the last 3 years.
Right. What's the market done?
Way better.
Yeah.
Much, much better. So it's I think the thing that you can say about Culp is that he was not as bad as either of his predecessors.
All three, maybe, because he had Immelt, Welch, and what was the clown after Immelt?
I'm trying to remember. What was his name? It wasn't Sullivan, but it was something like that, wasn't it?
He was a dope.
What was his name?
I don't know, but he was the one, after he'd been in the job for about a year, he said, yeah, things are looking pretty good.
Flannery?
Flannery, yes.
John Flannery.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Oh, thank except you, I didn't realize that we owed $20 billion in long-term care insurance claims.
Yeah, kind of a big admission from a CEO. But what GE is going to be doing here is they are going to be splitting themselves up into three different businesses.
Yeah.
And it's something that, quite honestly, makes sense at this point, given that the only thing that these businesses have in common right now is they're things that spin. Jet engines, MRI machines, and power plant turbines. It's just there's not much that really ties them together otherwise. So you've got this really complex company that is going to be figuring out how to go through this split up here, this breakup, and I do think it's probably a way to unlock some value for the long term for shareholders.
Oh, yeah.
But there still is an awful lot of legacy bad business from, you know, that long term care business and other pieces there where you sit here and you say, who are you going to saddle that with? And how do they end up trying to deal with it if it's a smaller company that now has to deal with a proportionally larger issue that they're still facing?
Have we seen in recent history, I remember the breakup of ITT, but has there been one like this in the last 20 years, 10 years even?
I can't think of one.
ITT was back in the 90s, and it worked well. I mean, they had Sheraton, they had ITT Industries, what else did they have? And they broke that into, like, similarly, Chuck, three different companies, and all three of those companies thrived.
Yeah, I don't know if there's another example in the last 20 years. The trend has been towards more consolidation rather than unlocking shareholder value through breakups. I guess the only one that I can think of, and I don't think that you can point to evidence that it worked, was HP.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after a bunch of mergers that didn't work, then they went through a divestment that didn't work. So, you know, it's the track record isn't good on that one. But I don't know if I can think of any other ones recently. I mean, Dell's done a little bit. I still don't understand how Dell's corporate structure actually works, just because of, you know, they went through the not merge. It's just, it's messy.
And they weren't
a
conglomerate either.
No, you know? So I don't think that we've seen anything like this, because quite honestly, there aren't that many companies like GE in the United States anymore.
Yeah, you got Honeywell, right?
Yeah, that's probably the closest that you come. But it's not like where you go to, you know, Korea or Japan and you just have these massive conglomerates that have their hands in everything. It's a very different business model that's more specialized that's developed in the United States. So you had GE stock get a nice little pop off this news initially, going from about $108 a share up to $114. So a nice, you know, 5-6% pop. And then by the end of the day, it was back down to 111, and today it's at 110. So
is there a play here, though, like if for shareholders today, they're going to own shares in GE Air, and then also they're going to get shares in these new spun-off companies, correct?
Yeah, I hope they name one of these companies Specific Electric instead of General. I think that would be, you know, a nice little ode to history, but at the same time moving forward.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't count on that. Hey, let's talk about Apple. A judge has just ruled that they cannot delay, the App Store can't delay the payment changes. So this is good for smaller vendors that want to offer another way to pay for services, right, through that company?
Yeah,
like,
and
like Epic Games?
Yeah, and the concern that I think a lot of people watching this had was that, hey, if this appeal and this stay were accepted, it could be 2 to 3 years before these changes go into effect. And so instead you had this federal judge in Oakland. Again, this is, you know, Apple's hometown pretty much. I mean, yeah, it's across the bay, but you're talking within spitting distance of Apple's headquarters in Cupertino. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a judge right in Apple's backyard saying, no, we're not going to give you a stay on this. You're going to have to abide by the ruling immediately. And so this is going to be by December, Apple is going to have to allow for companies to offer alternative payment websites through links on their apps. I still maintain that this is not something that is going to be any meaningful shift in terms of revenue either for Apple or for these other companies, just because, just as an example, when I am using my iPhone, what's nice about it is that I don't have to go somewhere and enter a bunch of information in to pay for something.
Right.
So unless Epic Games and these other companies figure out a way to make that as seamless on their own websites as it is just by going through the phone or the iPad or whatever, I'm not sure how many people are going to say, yeah, you know what? I'd really like to pay Epic Games directly, and I'm going to click this link. Now, if they start offering 50% discounts to pay directly,
right? That's
hey, maybe there's
say.
A shift.
Are they allowed to do that, though? Will they be allowed to say, well, if you book directly, you save 5% or 10% as opposed to what you would pay if you pay through Apple?
Why wouldn't they?
It used to be that way with credit cards, Chuck, where you couldn't give a cash discount for credit cards. Like the MasterCard and Visa would hold hostage the retailers and say, you can't, because, you know, the retailers hate the credit cards, right? They're paying 2 or 3% to the credit card company. So the credit card companies would put pressure on the retailers saying, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to give cash discounts or discounts at all to cash payers. I don't know if that same rule applies here or not.
I would find it highly unlikely that Apple would be allowed to do that in light of this decision. Yeah, the whole decision was to be able to allow for additional payment options. I don't think you'd have a new lawsuit that, you know, comes down a different way where, hey, you can offer additional payment options, but you can't set a different price off the App Store.
Right.
That feels like a tough putt to me, but who knows? You know, it's again, there's not really much consistency when it comes to how a lot of these rulings have come down in recent years.
Borrowers are rushing to refinance as mortgage rates dropped for a second week. I saw that this morning that the 10-year Treasury is in the 140s, right? Like 143, 148, something like that?
Yeah, it bumped up from 145 yesterday. Actually, as of right now, on that hotter inflation print, it's up to 1.52. So a little bit of a sell-off going on in longer-term Treasuries there, shorter-term as well. So you've got some movement that is happening on that front. But at least for the last week, we were seeing lower Treasury rates. And so as such, the average interest rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage had decreased from 3.24% down to 3.16%. And what that did is that increased refinance demand by 7% from the prior week. Now, here's my question to you, Barry. Mm-hmm. because again, I'm a serial refinancer. I did it.
Yes, you are.
I did it twice in 2020, and I think I've had two houses, and I think I've refinanced four times already. So I do this a lot.
That's what happens when you're a math major in college.
I don't look at refinance rates every week to be like, oh, they bumped down a little bit, I'm going to do it now. So I guess I'm just trying to understand this group of people that suddenly, oh, rates are down like 8 basis points. We got to surge into the... I'm just trying to understand it, and I can't quite wrap my head around it.
I think a lot of people are doing it just because the mortgage brokers finally have time to refi people. They were so slammed all summer. Yeah. But I have two neighbors that are mortgage brokers, and they were working 7 days a week. You know, it was really affecting them because all they did was work. And I think maybe they caught up with that pipeline, and now it's starting to relax a little bit.
Yeah, that could be the piece. But I always get a kick out of, oh, you know, mortgage rates ticked up, 0.05% this week, and so borrowers left the market. I'm sitting there, I'm going, which borrowers are looking at this and saying, oh, rates are up 0.05%, let's not do this, you know?
Right.
So I just find that interesting from my perspective.
Hey, we have some Bruin tickets that are up for grabs, right, to support the disabled American veterans. What are we looking at? These are luxury suite tickets, right?
These are fantastic seats. So it's two luxury suite tickets to tomorrow's game against the Edmonton Oilers. And if you know anything about hockey, Connor McDavid on the Edmonton Oilers is the most exciting player in the game.
He's electric
today. He's beyond electric. He's nuclear. He's like, again, I don't know. Did you watch any of the highlights from that goal he scored last week where he beat the entire team?
One of the best goals I've ever seen.
Filthy. Absolutely filthy. So we've got these two luxury suite tickets that we are giving away. Not giving away. We are auctioning off tomorrow to benefit the disabled
today,
American veterans.
Yeah.
We're auctioning them today. The game's tomorrow.
What's Jeez, the, Chuck.
Listen, you did this.
I
you did this in the
lot
first
more
hour.
Bloopers than, I'm like famous for my bloopers. You made more bloopers than me in one read.
I did, but I can almost say for certain that I think we're going to get a higher bid off of this. Tucker, what are we at right now?
$625.
So right now, the bid for these two tickets, all the proceeds are going to the Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts. We're at $625. Here's how you bid more. 888-205-2263. The game is tomorrow night, and if you bid more than $625, you will be the leader in the clubhouse. So again, that number is 888-205-2263, and all the proceeds, they are going to benefit the Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts. Let's get that number up a little bit higher, because again, you will get a great take with this and support a great cause. The number again is 888-205-2263.
Liz Klayman from the Fox Business Network joins us next on the Financial Exchange.
This is your home for the latest business and financial news in New England and around the country. This is the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
Losing money on an investment can actually be beneficial to your overall financial strategy. Tax loss harvesting occurs when an investment loss helps you reduce your tax liability by offsetting gains or income. Understanding this process fully is a topic that we cover in our brand new guide for the month of November called The Top 10 Year End Tips. This is Barry from the Armstrong Advisory Group, and I'd encourage you to use the time between now and the end of the year to review your overall financial plan. Make sure you take your required minimum distribution at the right time and for the right amount. Don't assume that your insurance policies are still providing you with the best coverage. Get our guide and learn about these and other tips that can help you plan for 2022 and beyond. Call 800-393-4001 and get your guide today. Or you can download the guide right now from our website, armstrongadvisory.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, and advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. Michael Armstrong, representative. Armstrong Advisory Group and the Securities America Companies are unaffiliated.
Join our text club by texting the word Barry to 63566. Send your first and last name and get involved today. You're listening to the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
This year's DAV 5K was another incredible success. 1,500 runners finished at the fort in support of the Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts. And on behalf of all of us here at the Financial Exchange, we send you our sincere thanks. If you weren't able to participate and you still want to make a donation to support our great American heroes, please visit dav5k.boston. And thank you again for all of your support. As promised, we're now joined by Liz Klayman from Fox Business here to do a little bit of market talk. Liz, how are you today?
Well, I'm a little bit more expensive than I was yesterday. I mean, everything's going up in price, right?
I thought I felt 0.9% more expensive today than yesterday. So yes, I agree with you that that's the way things seem to be heading. Let's talk a little bit about this path for inflation. We here on the Financial Exchange, we've thought that we weren't going to see things be quite so transitory here, and now that's playing out. What's the path the next 4 to 6 months, in your opinion?
I am right with you on that. From the beginning, I truly felt for, and I'm not the economist, and I kept feeling as if the Federal Reserve, who's been that sort of main body saying it's transitory or temporary, I felt that they were wrong only because when companies raise prices, think about it this way. When you pass a gas station and they raise the price, it goes up really fast when there's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It takes forever to come back down when the issue has been cleared.
Yep.
It's not so easy to move prices down. A lot easier to move them up. But I really feel that these prices are going to continue to rise for a whole host of reasons. You know, obviously the supply chain situation, which will work its way through by hopefully middle of next year. But there are other issues that the Fed really needs to look at, and that is that the new sort of labor movement where people are demanding better wages and they are getting them.
Yep.
And you don't suddenly just snatch that away. You know, hey, they're striking contracts. They're saying we want more money, not just this year, but next year and the year after. And so once you have that, you got to raise your prices to pay for it.
The other piece that I find interesting, Liz, is that we've heard an awful lot in the last couple months in particular about the supply chain issues that are out there. And clearly that is something that is creating higher input costs for a lot of companies as well as what we're seeing on the labor side. But I've maintained for a while that the Federal Reserve doesn't really have a great tool set to deal with a lot of actual causes of inflation. And in my mind, they don't have a tool to deal with supply chain issues being a driver here as well. Your thoughts?
Well, again, the Fed would say that's not our problem. That's not our job. Our job is sort of price stability, which they've lost control of, and the labor market being pretty well inflated and filled. There are a lot of jobs open right now, and that sort of disconnect between them being filled and them being empty is that piece, that wage piece. But, you know, the supply chain issue is a congressional problem. Now, yesterday, the Biden administration announced that part of the infrastructure bill would go toward sort of updating our ports, the nation's ports. I mean, at last check, there were something like 132 gigantic container ships idling off the West Coast, waiting to unload because we don't have enough truck drivers, or we don't have enough people who are unloading, or the backlog came from Asia where China's being really specific about testing, and if one person tests positive, they shut down the whole port.
Yep.
And so everything is just in this strange state of flux. And for those of you who kind of don't really understand why this is forcing prices higher, because supply is down, but demand is up. And we're heading into this point on the calendar, the holidays, where people are buying more food, people are buying more presents and toys and clothing, and the shelves are getting a little skimpy.
So what I have seen this morning is that Fed funds futures rates all pushing up expectations of additional hikes over the course of next year. Yeah. What are your thoughts on how this potentially impacts markets if we start to see the Fed hiking on the back half of the taper?
Well, everybody needs to grow up. There is an entire generation that's never seen rates higher than, I don't know, you know, let's say mortgage rates. They've not seen rates higher than pushing it at 6%. I mean, we're at 3.03 for a 30-year jumbo. They're just not used to that. But it's been so widely telegraphed,
right,
that it is coming. I would venture to say they'll be in a very difficult position next year, and by July they either will have raised or they will raise.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And I would say if this inflation is still sticking around, they have to raise again.
Yeah,
if it's tamped down, and it's an unpopular move, but it's a grown-up move. Just go back to Paul Volcker in the 80s, who was the very brave Federal Reserve chief under Ronald Reagan, who did something that was incredibly unpopular. He had to raise rates to tamp down on stagflation, and he raised them very high, 18%. I mean, can you imagine? No, but everyone needs to understand it's coming.
Fantastic. Liz, we appreciate you joining us, and thank you so much for the time today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much.
That is Liz Klayman from Fox Business talking about the state of play as it relates to inflation and market impacts. Now, Tucker, I know during the last break we got a couple calls about the Bruins ticket auction. What are we up to now?
Yeah, we got a couple bids in that break. The high bid is now $800.
So nice. $800 to go see Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers take on your Boston Bruins tomorrow at the TD Garden. All proceeds are going to the Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts. If you want to top that bid of $800, call 888-205-2263. Again, it's 888-205-2263. We've only got about 20 minutes left in this auction, so if you've been, you know, hemming and hawing.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Make the call. 888-205-2263. Top bid right now is 800. Let's get that puppy over 1,000 before the end of the show. We're going to take a quick break here, but when we do return, we'll update you on the state of the auction. Again, 888-205-2263. And then we're going to talk to you about how Zillow is unloading all those homes they bought through their home buying business.
The Financial Exchange is live on Facebook, so make sure to like our page and watch the guys break down the latest on the markets every day beginning at 10 on the Financial Exchange Radio Network. Financial news, business news, entertainment. If you don't think they all go together, you need to listen to our brand new podcast called Dumb Questions for Smart Money, presented by the Financial Exchange Radio Network. Subscribe today on Apple, Spotify, and all your favorite podcast apps.
Trivia is brought to you by Southern Airways Express. Enjoy fall on Nantucket with Southern Airways Express. Book your flights today for a day trip or a long weekend with easy travel from Norwood, Providence, or New Bedford. Forget the ferry or Logan's hassles and high fares. The easiest way to Nantucket is on Southern Airways Express. Great service, low fares. Book today at iFlySouthern.com. This week in the year 1941, the rhythm guitarist and older brother of the lead singer for what classic rock band was born in Berkeley, California? Now that's darn near an impossible question. I can't imagine who's going to get the answer to that. If you know the answer, text your name and the keyword iFly to 63566. That's your first and last name and the keyword iFly to 63566. The third correct answer will win a $50 gas card and be automatically registered to win a pair of round-trip tickets to Nantucket on Southern Airways Express. We'll give the tickets away during Friday's program. This week, in 1941, the rhythm guitarist and older brother of the lead singer for what classic rock band was born in Berkeley, California? Again, our text number here in the studio is 63566. Zillow has reached a deal, Chuck, to sell about 2,000 homes from its ill-fated house flipping program, and the company's biggest bulk sale as it starts to unload thousands of homes and terminate the business. I'm still flabbergasted by this story, the fact that Zillow, who has more information about real estate than anybody else, couldn't make money flipping homes.
So there's another data point that I learned in this. I just want to specify what they're doing first. They're selling these 2,000 homes to a company called, I think it's Pretium Partners, maybe? Mm-hmm. Maybe Pretium? I don't know. But it's a New York City-based firm that owns about 70,000 single-family homes and rents them out around the country. So yeah. They're adding to their inventory here. Here's the part that got me in this. So Zillow, again, what was it, a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago, they had their earnings call, and they said they were shuttering this home flipping business because they were very bad at it. So they're intending to sell the 9,800 homes they sell, so this takes about 20% of that off their inventory, plus an additional 8,200 they've been in the process of buying. They were still buying 8,200 houses as they're going through shuttering this business.
Yeah, yeah. It just makes you, when you hear stories like this, it really makes you question the leadership of that company, right? You say to yourself, okay, like, how did you make a mistake this big? And then you're unwinding it in the most foolhardy fashion that we could possibly imagine. Like, if you were going to get out of the business, wouldn't you just say, we're not going to buy any more homes? And then maybe 5-10 years from now, you unload these homes that you purchased. I don't get it. I am really at a loss, and I can't imagine that the board's very happy with the way this plan is being executed.
No, the board can't be happy. Investors can't be happy. I mean, it's again. I've never seen a company lose so much money on a new product so quickly.
Do they have any competitors, Chuck? I always use Zillow to check real estate values, or, you know, if my neighbor's house recently sold, I want to go and find out what they got for it, stuff like that.
The other two big ones that are out there are Redfin and Trulia. I don't know if either one is anywhere near the size of Zillow or has the revenue of them. But those are the other two big ones that are out there. Redfin does have a network of brokers that works under it. So they've got a very different business model from what Zillow built. I don't know if that means it's better or worse, but I can tell you that they didn't lose $2 billion in a span of a year and a half trying to run this business.
Right, right.
Because that's what the final cost is going to end up being, because Zillow already on their earnings reports, they're already up to about $600 million in losses from this.
That's amazing.
And it's going to end up...
I don't know that you could do that if you tried.
No, I mean, this business has been around for a year and a half, which means that you've lost over $1 million per day on this business since you started it.
But how, though? Like,
I don't know.
Did they grossly overpay? Did they underestimate?
So what ended up happening is the issue that Zillow ran into was twofold. Number one, if you give someone, when you go on Zillow, they have their Zestimate, which is the Zillow estimate of what a place is worth. Yeah. If you have an estimate that you are giving people, they're not going to accept less than that. And so you always have to pay over market prices to begin with. And the second piece is that you get a bunch of adverse selection in here as well. In that, hey, if Zillow is saying, look, we're buying these sight unseen and here's the price that we're willing to pay, you're going to get all the people that have problems with their homes selling to you. And you're not going to know about it. And it's not even a problem necessarily with the house, but I gave the example. There's a house about half a mile from me that went on the market maybe a year ago, maybe 6 months, somewhere in that range.
Yep.
And I said, oh, gee, you know, it looks nice. I haven't been there in a little while. Let me just walk past it and just see what it looks like. And I completely forgot that this house, its next door neighbor right across the street from it, is a natural gas pipeline servicing facility.
Oh my!
And you wouldn't realize that just from looking at Zillow, because you just see open woodland and you say, oh, this is, you know, it's on a nice neighborhood and then there's woods next to it. It's a great place. You know, it's very private, except actually the woods are this underground pipeline that trucks are going in and out of all day because they're servicing stuff.
Right. Right. Wow. That's how you do it. They didn't even go in the houses. They would just buy them sight unseen.
I don't know if they had any inspection contingencies.
Oh my god! I'll tell you what. If that CEO keeps his job, I'm shocked. Absolutely shocked. That would be an example of the board not doing their job. Let's talk about President Xi and President Biden. They are going to have a virtual summit, and actually, President Xi has been a little more conciliatory than in the past. Are we expecting anything? Do you have high hopes for this virtual meeting?
No.
No.
No, I don't really think anything's going to come out of it.
Yeah.
But
what are they going to talk about?
The counter to that is that normally when you have, again, this level of a meeting coming together, not just, you know, senior diplomats, but actual heads of state.
Yep.
Typically, the reason why the event happens is because there is some kind of agreement that you're going to have announced at it. Like, there's no reason otherwise. You know, it's why would you get in the same room together if you weren't going to announce something? So it does, you know, raise my antenna a little bit in that, hey, if you're having heads of state actually get together, even if it's being done virtually, usually it's because there's going to be some kind of announcement. It's not just because they want to talk, you know.
Anything about Taiwan or no?
I don't think anything about Taiwan is going to be, I don't think anything about Taiwan would be changed as a result of this. It may be brought up in conversations, but I don't think there's, I don't think that's where the meat would be. There's part of me that wonders, there's been some noise being made by Gina Raimondo, the Secretary of Commerce, about potentially making some changes on tariffs. So that's where my mind potentially goes here. I don't think that would be a good move in the aggregate for what we're trying to do in terms of influencing Chinese behavior.
It would be deflationary, though.
It would be deflationary, and it would be something that also boosts equity markets. There's no doubt about that.
I
don't think I would agree with doing it right now, but there's been a lot of chatter about it in the last month.
Yeah, why take your foot off their throat now, though?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's not like they fulfilled their terms of the prior deal. They didn't.
Not at all.
Didn't come close. Not at all.
What are we up to in terms of bidding, Tucker, on the on those hockey tickets?
$900, and the bidding closes in 3 minutes.
All right. So, and if you want to bid, what's the we have a few more chances, right? You
this
still
is
got a
it.
Couple minutes.
This okay. is basically it. So, if you want to bid over that $900, you've got to call 888-205-2263. And granted, we've inched up here over the course of the day.
Oh, yeah.
I need someone who's just a whale to come in and take out that $1,000 mark. I need a whale to come in and say,
needs to be done.
Yes, I want to pay $1,000 or more to go see Connor McDavid do ridiculous things on the ice and hopefully the Bruins still win. So someone, I need a whale. I need a whale to come in and take this out. 888-205-2263. Again, 888-205-2263. And we'll announce the winner in our next segment.
Business and financial news affecting the markets and your wallet. We've got it all straight from Wall Street, right here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
Hi, this is Chuck Zotta from the Armstrong Advisory Group. And with 2022 right around the corner, there are several key steps you'll want to take in order to close out this year on a high note financially. Among them, properly calculating your RMDs with the new rules in place is a mistake that could be very costly. You'll also want to review and update account beneficiary designations, examine your current insurance policies to make sure you're getting the best coverage possible, and review your estate plan. The best time to put together a sound financial plan for 2022 and beyond is right now. So call today at 800-393-4001 and request my new free guide, The Top 10 Year-End Tips. Don't leave your assets to chance. That number again is 800-393-4001 or download it right now from our website, armstrongadvisory.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, and advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. Charles Zotta, representative. Armstrong Advisory Group and the Securities America companies are unaffiliated. If you missed any part of today's show, not to worry. Go to financialexchangeshow.com and click listen. Then click on demand and catch up on every segment. You'll also find podcasts of all of our full shows. Just punch up that listen button at financialexchangeshow.com.
Brothers Tom and John Fogerty made up one half of Creedence Clearwater Revival, with Tom being born in November of 1941 and John being born 3.5 years later in May of 1945. A staple of American classic rock, Creedence Clearwater Revival was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1993. They have sold 28 million records in the United States alone.
Is there a chance that they were born on the bayou? In any case, the winner on this question was Tim from Linfield. And so Tim is taking home a pair of, Tim's taking home a $50 gas card and has been automatically registered to win the pair of round trip tickets to Nantucket on Southern Airways Express. And trivia indeed is brought to you by Southern Airways Express. You can enjoy fall on Nantucket with Southern Airways. Book your flight today for a day trip or long weekend With easy travel from Norwood, Providence, or New Bedford, forget the ferry, Logan's hassles, the high fares. The easiest way to Nantucket? It's on Southern Airways Express. Great service, low fares. Book today at iFlySouthern.com.
DoorDash shares are up 13%. They said they've agreed to acquire European food delivery company Wolt Enterprises in an all-stock deal valued at over $8 billion. So you're starting to see some of these companies come together, right? There was a million of them to start off with, and now the consolidation is occurring, and a lot will just go away, I would think, and others will be acquired.
It's actually Wolt Enterprises Oi.
Oi. Oi.
I don't know what the Oi... I'm Oi. Guessing that is... Where's Wolt based out of? Is it Finland?
Yes.
I'm guessing that's something along the lines of LLC in Finland, but I just like that it says Oi.
Me too.
It's got a better ring than LLC or Limited, so I enjoy that quite a bit. I do wonder if this deal is going to be approved. And the reason that I ask is because the EU is notoriously a little bit more stringent when it comes to some of these mergers going through in its territory. And so I do wonder if this is something that gets a little bit of pushback from European regulators, perhaps.
Especially DoorDash is American, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're not going to like that.
So I do wonder a little bit about that, but otherwise, this would set up DoorDash, who's the biggest food delivery app in the United States, to compete with Uber Eats in Europe, where DoorDash doesn't really have a huge presence these days. I guess DoorDash had been poking around with a German grocery delivery business, but that fell through earlier this year. So this would represent kind of their new effort to move more into the European market.
Good. So do we have a winner? Who's going to see Connor McDavid tomorrow night?
We are still working to confirm, so we'll let you know.
The bidding is continuing.
No, the bidding is not. No, the bidding is done.
Oh, okay. You just got to get the money. You got to get the money.
We got to confirm that the money is being delivered.
I got it.
Stand by.
I'm with you. All right. Panera Bread going public, Chuck. They used to be public, right?
They did. They were taken private back, I'm trying to think, probably 7-8 years. No, not that long. Maybe 5-6 years ago now. And so they did announce yesterday they're planning to file for an initial public offering with the SEC. And so the majority investor, which is JAB Holding Company, who had taken them private in the past, is going to still retain some kind of stake in here. And then Danny Meyer, who also was the founder of Shake Shack, he is likely going to be taking a stake in this through a SPAC that he runs as well. Because everyone's got a SPAC now. If you're not SPACing, you're not
I was wondering what his
involvement
was, because he's Shake Shack, right?
Yes. And so he's got a SPAC, USHG Acquisition Corp. And so that company is supposedly going to take a stake in the new publicly traded Panera entity.
Is it just Panera that's going public? Because didn't they own a bunch of different ones?
They do. So they also own Panera. So in addition to Panera Bread, they own Caribou Coffee and Einstein Brothers Bagels. And I guess that whole thing is going to be going public since it's all held captive under that Panera corporate umbrella.
Gotcha. All right. Well, makes sense. So we'll see how they do.
It's a fantastic market for them to go public into.
It is. It is. And they decent product. I'm not a big fan of Panera. I always leave hungry. I never get enough to eat there. But
unlike Chipotle, where you always leave feeling like you want a nap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose.
Yeah. You prefer the nap to needing a second sandwich.
Yeah, my age, right? Naps are good. Naps are good.
So, Barry, we do have confirmed winners now. For the
winners.
Yeah. We've got winners.
How'd you do winners?
Well, here's the deal. So the highest bid was Susan, who bid $1,075 on the two tickets for tomorrow's Bruins game against the Edmonton Oilers. But we uncovered a second pair of tickets that we had as well. And so George happened to have the second highest bid at $1,055. And so both George and Susan are actually going to be going to that Bruins game and sitting in the suite with all their food paid for tomorrow. Should be just a fantastic take. And that means that we also raised over $2,100 for the Disabled American Veterans on today's show.
That's great.
It's a pretty good day right there to raise $2,000 for veterans. Good day.
Yeah, you guys should be proud of that. Good. And Susan and George, thank you very much, and thank you for whoever donated those tickets, because that's they could have taken somebody else. So it's a great cause and a great day.
It sure is. So again, over $2,000 raised for the DAV.
Krispy Kreme had a pretty good quarter, Chuck.
You didn't think it was a little soft in the middle?
We're just full of puns today. I love it.
It's a good day. It's a good day. What can I say? You know, it's again, we just raised $2,000. If you can't have fun with that, you know, what's the point? But so Krispy Kreme, their third quarter revenue up 18%, largely backed by the fact that they did raise prices on most of their products. Their shares up 4% in extended trading yesterday. When we look at how they are trading today, up about 5% after actually being up close to 10% at one point during the morning. Now, Krispy Kreme made its return to public markets in July of this year. They went back to public markets in early July, I think July 2nd it was. Yeah. And unfortunately, it hasn't been a great run to this point since they've returned to public markets. The 52-week high for them is $21.69, and today they're still trading at $13.69, so down about 33%.
They don't make any money. They're still losing money. Like, how do Dunkin' Donuts makes money hand over fist? How come Krispy Kreme can't make any money?
I don't know.
They don't have any Massachusetts stores anymore.
No, because they went over like a lead balloon here. When
the nearest one is Mohegan Sun.
You really think you're going to take on Dunks in its home territory?
No,
they're not that good. Like I'm sorry, but Krispy Kreme is—they're not that good. It's just that's what it comes down to.
They're fine, but it's if you had one of those and a Dunks right next to each other,
Dunks, right?
And I say this as someone who's been critical of a lot of Dunkin's other food, but their donuts are better than Krispy Kreme,
in my opinion.
So there's that. But so they still lost $6 million making these donuts. That's down from $14 million that they lost last year during the quarter. They did sell $342.8 million worth of donuts and other things that people ate and drank. So, again, it's a decent-sized company. I mean, they're going to have, $1.5 billion in sales this year. But they just...
You got to learn how to make money.
Yeah, you got to learn how to make money on that.
And that's, I think that's what stockholders are waiting for, right? Like, if you're a stockholder, yeah, you're saying, well, I'll buy your stock, but, when are you going to turn a profit?
Show me the money.
Show me the money, baby. The Dow's down 42 points. The S&P is down 6 points. The NASDAQ is down 74 points. And the price of crude oil is even down. It's down 99 cents a barrel at $83.16. Gold's up $23 an ounce. See you tomorrow, guys, on the Financial Exchange.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.